In early 1962, John F. Kennedy sent to Congress a draft of something called the Standby Capital Improvements Act, with a letter urging them to pass it as soon as possible. This was a proposal for Kennedy to spend $2 billion, the equivalent of $17 billion today, on expanded public works programs whenever it looked like unemployment was about to rise. The idea was that projects would be designed quickly to create jobs by injecting said projects with federal money. In other words, printing new money to pay these unemployed people who are now in a public work scheme. Under Keynesian doctrine, this would help the economy by expanding consumer spending, although, as we know, the real result of such policies is nearly always inflation. This was slow at first. The consumer price index rose by only 6.54% between 1960 and 1965, but then it snowballed to an increase of 23.5% between 1965 and 1970. But there was a political impact to this move too, because Congress was being asked to transfer a part of its power to the purse of the president. The president could now spend this extra money by fiat as long as he could point to the threat of impending unemployment. After some back and forth with the Senate, who added a special caveat that the president could only use it in areas where the unemployment rate has risen 1% over a 3 to 9 month period, and which had either median family income of $1,600 to $1,700, or twice the national employment rate. The House of Congress eventually passed this. The House Public Works Committee authorized the full $2 billion standby program with a $900 million immediate acceleration program. This meant that in the event of a recession in any state in the country, the president could act immediately by fiat without oversight from Congress. This gave Kennedy the power to declare a state of emergency for the area affected if he could show a 1% rise in unemployment and then release funds as if by magic for a public work scheme. In other words, automatic pump priming. Such public work schemes were typically in construction, the old classic building of bridges and so on. But construction workers in 1962 were paid $3.24 an hour when compared with an average of $2.36 an hour in all manufacturing and $1.71 an hour in retail trade. Assuming these emergency funds were spent on wages alone, at those rates, JFK could instantly employ about 1.5 million construction workers for a year around the country. But what would happen when the money ran out? Well, I mean, presumably they'd be unemployed again, and the unemployment rate would rise by 1% again, and that would trigger the act again, and so they could have their jobs back again. Out of 1,300 areas, only 345 were eligible for this, including all 54 Indian reservations and certain inner city urban areas. So, in effect, this was a hidden emergency redistribution scheme whereby the president could be seen personally to inject money into a struggling area. And this was naturally part of the Democrats' Southern strategy to ensure the support of poor black voters in exchange for money, a kind of precursor for Lyndon B. Johnson's so-called war on poverty. And as you can see from the 1964 presidential map, it worked. And as LBJ so famously said, we'll have those voting Democrat for the next 200 years. And so far, that strategy has overwhelmingly worked, as is so often the case with awful policies that appear to make no economic sense. Once you start looking at the political incentives, it's a lot easier to understand. Now get out.